Everyone's talking about the weight loss for Big Ben Roethlisberger. Is he no longer Big Ben, or are you just calling him Ben now?
Yeah, that was thanks for having me, by the way. That was completely overblown. In fact, he kind of laughed off the whole idea that somebody from, quote-unquote, his camp had spoken to a, as he called it, a golf reporter. said, my camp is my wife, my agent, and my trainer, and none of them spoke to this guy. Ben Roethlisberger has been on the same diet now for about the last 5 years. He's been down in weight that entire time. I know everybody looked at the photos of him from 2019 when he grew the beard and was wearing the big puffy coats and everything when he was out and saying, well, he's huge, he's massive. He's really done a much better job of keeping his weight down. He looks spry in this camp. Looks like his body is in great shape. We'll see where that takes him.
Dale, obviously coming off a year in which he threw 33 touchdown passes, only 10 interceptions and 15 starts, I don't think he really had to make too many changes. Looked like he's doing pretty good. But when you're a 39-year-old quarterback, the question has to be asked, how's the arm looking in camp?
You know, I think his arm looks better than it did, obviously, last year at this time. I made note last week that it was the opening of training camp a year ago on August 17th. At that point, we still hadn't seen him throw a football to that point, at least not live. You'd seen some videos and things of that nature. And even the playoff loss to the Browns, if you remember back before that, that was less than a year removed from him in the surprising video from Los Angeles when he went out to Los Angeles for his checkup and even shocked the Steelers by tossing a football at that point. So, you know, he spent that entire offseason last year rehabbing the arm, getting it ready to just throw a football again. And so he didn't have to do that this year. So I think that the arm does feel a lot better. He's almost 2 years now removed from that surgery. So I think there should be an expectation that the arm should be stronger. It should be just feel better at this point than it did a year ago. And I think that's been the case.
We're discussing the Pittsburgh Steelers with Dale Lawley right here on the Jason Greger Show. And behind Ben Roethlisberger, Dwayne Haskins will get the start, looks like, when they take on the Carolina Panthers. The team also obviously has Mason Rudolph. Is there a front runner right now for that backup spot?
Yeah, it's Mason Rudolph. I mean, it's his job right now. Haskins would have to – I'm not saying Haskins can't win the number two job on Friday night, but I don't think that's going to be the case. You know, I just think that Dwayne Haskins started this training camp not even guaranteed of a roster spot. To suddenly expect him to jump in and win the number two job over a guy who's been here for 4 years, I don't know that that's realistic. I think a lot of fans are hoping that's the case because they've already got their mind up that Mason Rudolph isn't the starter of the future. I'm not sure that Dwayne Haskins is the starter of the future either. The starter of the future is probably in college right now. Either, you know, maybe just starting college or, you know, heading into his second year, maybe even, you know, heading into his final year of college. But I think their starter of the future isn't on the roster. I don't think it's Dwayne Haskins. I don't think it's Mason Rudolph. But, you know, right now Dwayne Haskins has found money. You know, they got him for nothing. So, you know, when you get a guy, I think he obviously has more of an upside potential than Mason Rudolph. But Mason Rudolph's more than likely the number two starter this year, or number two backup, I should say.
Looking in the backfield there, Najee Harris obviously selected out of Alabama in the first round, and I think I'm going to ask for on-field, but there's a lot of people out there playing fantasy football. What can we expect out of Najee Harris?
I would, in terms of fantasy football, he should be an end-of-round-one kind of guy. I think he'll be a top 12 running back this year. Based on the workload, based on his ability to catch the football, you saw in the last last preseason game, he caught a little dump off and took it 46 yards. He's that kind of player. He catches the ball well. I know the team record for rushing for a rookie is 1,055 yards by Franco Harris in 1972. I don't expect that to be standing at the end of the year, not with Najee Harris getting 17 games as well. So, you know, 1,100, 1,200 rushing yards and 50 catches. Does that sound like a first-round running back in fantasy?
I think I'd be satisfied with that one. As we're discussing the Pittsburgh Steelers with Dave Lawley here on the Jason Greger Show, Dale, when you look at the promotion there for Matt Canada, obviously he was 1 year as a quarterback's coach, then he gets the promotion up to OC. Can we expect many changes for the Steelers' offense?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot more pre-snap motion, jet sweep motion, things of that nature, you know, maybe even some orbit motion, things of that nature. And, you're going to see more misdirection from them, play action, things of that nature that they really haven't used a lot of in recent years. So I think it will help the running game. I know everybody's concerned about the offensive line, but you can do things to protect that offensive line, running the football better. I think Najee Harris gives him the ability to do that. And then, you know, using the jet sweep motion and things of that nature. You know, if you have a wide receiver screaming across the formation, it causes those linebackers to take a misstep or something like that. They don't attack the line of scrimmage quite as fast, and it gives you more time. So a lot of things of that nature in terms of that. I think you'll see more use of the fullback than we've seen the last few years as well. So there's going to be some significant changes here.
A Canadian wide receiver, Chase Claypool, really burst onto the scene last year, week 5 against the Eagles, finishing with 4 total touchdowns. Obviously, the team brings back Juju Smith-Schuster. What are you expecting from this receiving core this year?
I think it's really good. I think Chase Claypool has the makings of a star. You know, if you look at the measurables for him, a guy that's 6'4", 238 pounds, that, you know, is running a 4'4". 40. There's really a lot of comparisons there between he and DK Metcalf. I think he has that kind of ability. You know, if you look at the size speed ratio, the only other guy at the NFL scouting combine, I think in the last 20 years, who's had that size speed combo, just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Megatron. So, you know, I think this is a guy that can really jump up and be the number one receiver or a number one receiver in the NFL. And then you have guys like Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster there. James Washington, I think, would start for a number of teams around the league. So they've got some depth there as well. You know, you add in the tight ends with Eric Ebron, who's still a dangerous receiving tight end. You know, you saw what Pat Freiermuth did, the rookie out of Penn State, that they took in the second round with 2 touchdown catches last week in the win over the Lions. And this, you know, I mentioned, I think Najee Harris catches the ball really well. This is a passing game that you know, I think can really challenge teams. And, you know, who do you double? You know, if you're going to double somebody, I know, you know, later in the season last year, as you mentioned, after that Philadelphia game, you started seeing more teams kind of roll the safety over Chase Claypool because he's just such a size mismatch for opposing cornerbacks. If you do that, these other guys are going to hurt you. So I think it's a really good receiving group.
We're discussing the Pittsburgh Steelers with Dale Lawley of DK Pittsburgh Sports. I want to go to the defensive side of the ball, and one of my favorite players to watch in the entire NFL, TJ Watt. I mean, the guy is just kind of a game plan wrecker when he's out there. You have him, the team brings in Melvin Ingram from the LA Chargers. What can we expect out of this pass rush from these guys?
Well, I mean, they've led the league in sacks the last 4 years, which has never been done before. It actually never been done 3 years in a row, and they've now done it 4. I don't think they miss a beat there. I know a lot of people were looking at the loss of Bud Dupree there and saying, how can they replace that guy? And then, you know, they drafted Alex Highsmith last year to be that guy, and he's looked really good in this preseason. I think, you know, he's probably one of the standouts of their training camp. And then you add in Melvin Ingram to that equation as well. And so, you know, you get a guy there that can, you know, step in and be, you know, a 15 to 20 snap a game guy coming off the edge like that as well. You know, Stephon Tuitt and Watt were two of the only 3 players in the AFC last year that reached double digits in sacks. And, you know, Cam Hayward had a quote unquote off year because he only had 4. You know, he's shown the ability to, he's had double digit sacks before in the past as well. So it's a dynamic pass rush. It's not just Watt. You just can't key on Watt. I think if teams do that, the other guys are going to feast. And I'm going to be real interested this year to see how the league calls holding, because we saw last year holding penalties were down across the league about a holding penalty per game. And, you know, know, I mentioned that to TJ Watt earlier in the offseason. He goes, oh, you noticed that? I said, yeah, I noticed that. He goes, I thought it was just me. No, it wasn't you. It wasn't just you. So, he led the league last year with 15 sacks, which was the lowest total for a league leader since 1996. I think you could see the league kind of say, hey, we need to bump that back closer to normal this year. If that happens and teams can't just hold TJ Watt consistently, I think he could take a run at 20 sacks, and this pass rush becomes really dangerous because they've got guys all across the line.
Dale, one final question for you. In the AFC North, obviously loaded right now, you've got the Steelers and Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. You've got Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, who look like they're on the rise right now. And then even in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be a star if he can stay healthy and they can keep him upright. When we're looking at Week 18 and it's wrapping up, how do you think the North looks 1 through 4?
Oh, man, that's tough. You know, I think when you look at it, at least on paper, Cleveland, as you mentioned, looks like it's probably the best team, but I don't trust them. I've seen too much with that franchise to trust them. The Steelers and Ravens are two franchises that you have to trust just because they're consistently there. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. I think that mix could go any which way depending on who suffers the most injuries or who gets through the cleanest, because all three of them have top 10 schedules this year in terms of strength of schedule difficulty. But as you mentioned, all three of them are really good football teams. So, I think there's going to be a little bit of injury luck involved. But I do think that all three are playoff teams this year.
Dale, great insight. We really appreciate it. And we'll catch you as the season gets rolling in just a short over here.
All right. Good talking to you guys.